Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship. God of every thought and reality, the holy prophetic sustainer of community, we gather here today as your people, children of the good news. Assure us of your presence once again, that we may trust the mystery of life and growth as we gather in the name of our Savior, who is Jesus the Christ. Amen. Affirmation of faith. We believe and know that Jesus is the Holy One of God. We believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. We believe that He is in the Father and the Father is in Him. We believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we have life in His name. Amen. Our first scripture reading is the 20th Psalm. The Lord answer you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and give you support from Zion. May He remember all your offerings and regard with favor your burnt sacrifices, Selah. May He grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. May we shout for joy over your victory and in the name of our God set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord will help His anointed. He will answer him from His holy heaven with mighty victories by His right hand. Some take pride in chariots and some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. Our scripture text this morning comes from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Maybe you've watched the Miramax film Kate and Leopold. Leopold is a duke snatched out of 1876 to the present by a would-be inventor who finds a crack in time to travel back and forth. It's a hilarious situation. The Duke is awed by 21st century New York City with its automobiles, televisions, telephones, and elevators, which the Duke himself invents after he returns to his own time. Nobody understands or appreciates the not-so-successful inventor. Through an accident, he winds up in the hospital, and talking about time travel lands him in the psych ward. The hospital shrink incarcerates as a lunatic the only one who can get Leopold back to his own time. The inventor begins talking to one of the nurses about his plight. She listens intently and is drawn into the story. With a sadness and resignation, he explains to his audience of one his private epic tale of being misunderstood. He says, "It's like being a dog that has seen a rainbow. A dog can describe it to all the other dogs, the beauty and the splendor of this wonderful, colorful, heavenly display. But they don't believe him. Dogs are colorblind. They can't see rainbows, so they don't believe him." In some ways, we are like colorblind dogs in spiritual matters. There's so much all around that God wants for us to see of His kingdom and His will. We stare right through the best of it because we are spiritually blind. Now, spiritual blindness did not just appear in our day. It has been around for a long time. Centuries before the birth of Christ, the enemies of Israel were the Assyrians. The king of Assyria wanted to conquer Israel. God wouldn't let that happen, so he kept giving prophetic insight about Assyria's plans to a prophet named Elisha. This was the same Elisha who had served as a prophet apprentice to Elijah. Elisha would warn the king of Israel, and at each attack, Syria's army would be routed. Elisha had become a major pain to the king of Assyria. When the king found out his losses were Elisha's doing, he put a price on the prophet's head and laid plans to capture him. This was the ancient equivalent of putting enemy faces on a deck of cards, except there was just one face on the whole deck, Elisha's. The king made only one mistake. Elisha really wasn't his enemy. God was. The conflict was not going to be much of a contest. Dothan, which was about 60 miles north of Jerusalem near Megiddo, where the final conflict on earth would someday take place, was Elisha's retreat. As the night fell, the prophet and his servant lay down in relative security, at least so they thought. In the pre-dawn hours, Elisha's servant gets up early to begin the morning chores. That was his job. In our mind's eye, we see the servant dragging out to the well to draw water. He's only half awake, shuffling along, but something is not quite right. The early birds and the other critters are not making their usual noises. Pushing the sleep away from his eyes, he scans the local hillside and his heart stops beating. There in the morning haze, silhouetted against the first indistinct rays of the dawning sun, are Syrian soldiers, a whole army of them, standing at ready, spears and bows locked and loaded. As it turned out, Elisha's servant Gehazi was spiritually blind, but his physical eyesight was 20/20. He scrambled into the house and he woke Elisha. "Master, Elisha, wake up. The whole Syrian army is out there, and they aren't happy. Elisha, wake up, man. They've got machine bows and sling missiles. We're toast." There's an interesting side issue here, in that the name given to the servant, Gehazi, means Valley of Vision. The man had the name, but he fell short of living up to his name. He was as spiritually blind as the king of Syria. Gehazi's problem was not the reality of the coming battle, but his perception of that reality. He served a Jewish prophet of Yahweh, God Most High. He carried the name of spiritual sight, yet knew nothing of vision. In today's church, you can see the counterpart of Gehazi. Paul characterized them for young Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5, saying, "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Not having spiritual sight is the norm these days. It could be a matter of belonging to a church that preaches walking by faith, which is born of spiritual vision, yet living as if faith is not existent. We claim to serve the God of all authority and power, but we trust our own ways rather than His. As a result, many believers live far below the spiritual poverty line, and some even die prematurely. What is it like to see the eyes of faith? In Holy Scripture, there appears the phrase, "The just shall live by faith," three times. For clarification, Paul takes it a step further. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." The implication, then, is that trusting God by faith, that spiritual vision, must be superior to living by sight. God has called every believer to live and move in faith. That means we must trust Him. Gehazi, in his spiritually blind condition, had to trust Elisha in order to see the protection of God's angels. We must also have faith every day if we're to see God's care for us. How do you do that? It sounds much easier said than done. It is. Seeing with the eyes of faith means we must major on being what God called us to be. That has less to do with what we do than who we are. Essentially, it means we are four realities about the believer in Jesus Christ who walks by faith and not by sight. First reality, we have been changed. Knowing God means having a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know Him? Do you have a changed nature? Do you walk with Him? These are questions that have specific answers. Those who have been changed know it. There was a street preacher who was speaking to a crowd about Jesus. A man interrupted and shouted how he didn't believe in Jesus, God, hell, or judgment, because he'd never seen God. Another man spoke up, "Friends, you say there's a building over there and a bus that stops here twice a day, and the grass grows in the yard across the street. That is untrue. You yourselves don't exist either, because I've never seen you. You see, I am blind, and the more I say you don't exist, while others can plainly see, just proves that I'm blind." The bad news is that those who refuse to be changed refuse God. The good news is that everyone can repent of his or her sins and be changed, saved by the grace of God through the invitation Jesus extended by his death, burial, and resurrection. Gehazi couldn't see because Gehazi didn't trust. This is the essence of being saved, my friend. Those who trust in Jesus will be changed. The difference is a matter of life and death, eternal life and death. And when you allow Jesus to change you, you will walk by faith, not sight. But your faith will change you from that colorblind dog state to one who sees the rainbow of God's love. When it comes to walking by faith, one reality is that we have been changed. Another reality, reality number two, we change our ways when they are different than His ways. Have you ever heard of any of these statements? God is selfish. Have you ever heard that? How about this one? God is foolish. Or this, God is dumb. Of course you've never heard those from any serious person. As His creation, we know innately that God is above those human traits. Walking by faith and seeing with the eyes of faith means we are changeable creatures, and we leave those things behind when we discover that they are different from His ways. The wonderful part about being a child of God is that although we must cooperate with Him in the change process, it is He who does the change work in us. We probably know of folks who fight to give up something that they're addicted to, smoking, drinking, drugs, etc. And when they finally do quit, we want to give them congratulations, a pat on the back, a high five. But we need to understand that they didn't quit. It was Christ in them who changed them. It happens when they make the connection to what Jesus said. John 10:10 says that the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus shows them that the things which kill the body, the soul, and spirit are not His ways. We become saved by the Lord Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And when we see the difference in our ways compared to His ways, then we want that change also. And He gives it to us. There are more areas that I and you need to conquer, but it is a process. He's still working on and in us. We've been changed. Change our ways. And that third reality, we change our focus when our focus is different than His desire. Many people begin to walk in faith with their eyes on the eternal. They make a good start following Jesus by faith, but it is so easy to look around and get distracted. Do you recall Peter stepping out of the boat? His focus was on walking on that water through the storm to Jesus. Then he took his eyes off of the Lord and began to notice the raging storm waters around him. He began to sink like I swim. We do that. We begin well. We walk in faith. We're focused on Jesus, and then we see troubles. We see hatred, and we see violence like riots, and we see those not doing what we think that they ought. And instead of following the Savior, we turn to our own ways again. What you are is determined in large part by what you see. A buzzard flies over the landscape. On that landscape are all the wonderful things God has created, roses, beautiful trees and meadows, wonderful mountains and rivers, and the joy of life. But a buzzard is looking for corpses, dead stuff. His eyes are not open to all of God's goodness. He's in the habit of looking for a rotting carcass. The desire of God is for you to focus on things above. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Changed. Changing our ways and our focus. And reality four, we change our fear of events and people to faith in our King. It is entirely logical to not fear. Do you believe that? It may sound illogical, but doesn't it make sense when you are reminded that God is always in control of everything? When some circumstances seem to threaten your peace, your joy, and even your life, remember, God is really in control. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about to turn the light off when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me in my room all night?" The mother smiled and gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room with him tonight." A long silence followed. At last, the quietness was broken by the boy's shaky little voice, "Daddy's a big sissy." It's good to be reminded that whatever happens falls in one of two categories. Some things happen because God allows them to. because they are good for us and He's training us to deal with things that will help others. In the other category, some things Satan throws in our way to tempt us, and God will deal with them if we just trust Him. As a small child, I remember coming home from visits at my grandparents' house. It seemed like a long, never-ending ride home late in the dark. I laid my head on the back seat. In the darkness, the movements of the car were unsettling, even frightening. My dad was a good driver, but the night and zooming cars go bump in the night to a child. And with each bump, curve, or braking motion, I imagined the car was wildly out of control. But finally, I did drift off to sleep. It only happened when I remembered that it was Dad who was driving. He always got us home, and for any situation, it's our Heavenly Father who's in control. He'll get us home. What did you bring into God's house with you this morning? Have you got 1,000 cares and enemies on every side? Are you sick of living? Does it seem as if life has wadded you up like a sheet of loose leaf paper and tossed you in the wastebasket of hell? Are you fearful? Does life scare you? Are there enemies stalking you today? Is it poverty or sickness? Is there loneliness in your life? Or some nagging sin you just can't seem to let go of, or defeat or shame? Are you angry or confused? Most of us try to put on some facade to bluff our way through the day just to get through. God is not into that. He knows your hurts and your weakness much better than you do. Why don't you let Him change you, change your ways and your focus, and transform your fears into faith? The altar we have here stands as a beginning place for you to surrender your life to Him and let Him begin making the changes in you. Perfect people are not allowed here at the altar, only humble people who realize that they need Jesus much more than anyone else's approval. Dothan was the place where Gehazi's eyes were opened by the prayer of a prophet. It was a miraculous rescue, and the heroes won. Beloved, it is sometimes a different story. Dothan is only mentioned one other time in the Bible, when Joseph's brothers sold their blood kin into slavery. Two very different outcomes, or so it seems, but the same Lord in all the circumstances. There's a legend of the eyebright flower. The legend holds that if you find it and rub your eyes with its petals, you will see all the unseen wonders of the world, become rich and satisfied. All your troubles and fears will be gone. That, of course, is a fable, only a fantasy, but Jesus Christ does offer the way to dispel all the fears. And if you will turn to Him, you will see with the eyes of faith that the host of heaven is for you. And then, who could stand against you? There is no eyebright flower here at our altar, but there is Jesus in the welcome arms of this congregation. I promise you today that if you sense you are one of those colorblind dogs and that rainbow of God's love is what you want more than anything, you'll find it at the end of a prayer, a public confession of faith in Jesus and what He has done for you. He will open your eyes. As the hymn goes, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Reach out and touch Him and tell Him we love Him. Open our eyes, Lord. This is our prayer. Let us pray. Loving Lord, thank You for Your written word, which contains all that we need as unbelievers to be forgiven of sins, as well as all that we need as Your saved children to live godly lives in Christ Jesus. Father, I realize that in Your grace, You've excluded no one from Your gift of salvation, but You simply hold us accountable to believe in Your precious Son. But now I understand that You also hold me accountable to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus by faith in Christ and not by trusting in my own abilities if I am to become a mature believer in Christ Jesus. Lord, I want to grow in my Christian life and to live my life as unto the Lord. Teach me Your ways and guide me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be accountable to You in my Christian life. Give me a teachable spirit and a desire to apply all the truths that I'm learning, for I desire to do Your will in my life. We pray this in Jesus' precious name, as He taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know you feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love, and for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise.
Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.